I'd like to call the Town of Mottville Town Council regular meeting to order for August 11th, 2025. Please join me in a pledge of allegiance, followed by a moment of silence in honor of our military.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. A roll call, please.
Counselor Herring.
Here.
Counselor Jackson.
Here.
Counselor Lacy. Counselor Renee.
Here.
Counselor Delia.
Here.
Counselor Stellar.
Here.
Counselor Utes.
Present.
All right. Tonight, we have some special recognitions and presentations. We have Sons of the American Revolution Outstanding Service Recognition, followed by the Good Times Motoring Club of Colchester presenting a donation to the Town of Mottville Canine Fund. So I'd like to start off with 4A, Mayor. I guess I'll give
Thank
it to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To start with, the Sons of American Revolution have an annual award they present across the country, and they select different areas each year for recognizing law enforcement, fire service, and for emergency medical service. And this year, they selected Mottville as the community that they would like to honor, and they asked for nominees, reaching out to the different departments. The names we came up with were in a long time coming for recognition. Michael Collins in law enforcement, Fred DeWick in EMS and fire service, and Donald Ellis in for firefighter and EMS. On the 15th, we made the awards. The Sons of American Revolution made the awards to Mike Collins and Fred DeWick. Don wasn't able to make it, so I've asked him to come here today. I'd like to start off with asking Don to come up here to the mic, and so I can present this proclamation to him. This award is an awful long time coming for Don. I've known Don for 30 years. His service to the community has been outstanding, more than outstanding, and I was able to put together a few words on what he has meant to the town of Mottville. And this special recognition is in cooperation with the Sons of American Revolution Outstanding Service Award. Whereas Don Ellis began his career in EMS in 1983 when he became an EMR and EMT certified at the age of 14 and 17 for the Salem Volunteer Fire Company, for which he received a letter of appreciation in June of 88 from the town of Salem. Don went on to continue his dedicated service when he was hired by the Department of Navy for the Department of Defense as a civilian career firefighter, earning him multiple recognition for years to follow. And whereas in 1991, he received a letter of appreciation from the Groton Town Manager and Mayor for his exemplary dedication to serving his community by providing EMS medical service. And whereas Don was hired as a career firefighter in 1996 by the town of Mottville, demonstrating unwavering dedication and professionalism in his outstanding service to the town. Whereas Don has successfully fulfilled the challenging leadership role in mentoring and training both volunteer firefighters and newly hired career firefighters, promoting an atmosphere of excellence, safety, and cooperation within the department. For the past 15 years, Don has generously donated a significant portion of his personal vacation time volunteering as a camp counselor for the Arthur C. Luff Burn Camp, dedicated to the recovery and well-being of children and affected by burn injuries. Don Ellis Jr.'s dedication stands as an inspiration to us all and embodies the highest ideals of community and public service. This was awarded on the 15th of July, so therefore let it be proclaimed that the town of Montville proudly recognizes and honors Donald Ellis Jr. for his exceptional commitment to service, his tireless support of young burn survivors, and his continued leadership in the EMS field. I also have some recognition certificates from the Sons of American Revolution. And it's the National Society of the Sons of American Revolution. Donald Ellis is hereby awarded the Emergency Medical Services Medal in recognition of dedication to the preservation of life and health under emergency conditions and performing beyond the duties normally called for within the emergency medical service profession. And with us, they also have a medal that would like to present Don for his efforts in emergency medical services. The Sons of American Revolution also awards Donald Ellis with the Fire Safety Commendation Medal in recognition of accomplishments and outstanding contributions to protect human life and property by preventing injuries and casualties due to fire. Don? As I said before, this is long overdue, and I'm honored to be part in this office, to be able to recognize and present John with this recognition. Thank you.
Mayor, could we take a moment and have the other recipients come up and maybe get some photographs? Okay.
So as I said, we also recognize Michael Collins and Fred DeWick. Michael Collins is a former resident trooper with the town of Montville, and He was recognized for his service with law enforcement. In 1980, he enlisted in the United States Marine Corps after graduating directly from high school. And he honorably was part of the Marine Security Forces at Camp Lejeune and the Naval Weapons Station in Yorktown, Virginia, and discharged in 1986. In 1987, he began a distinguished career with the Connecticut State Police, serving as a road trooper until 93, when he went to the town of East Lyme as a resident trooper. In 97, he was promoted to sergeant, and he continued at the Danielson Barracks, returning to East Lyme as a resident trooper, and then as patrol sergeant in Colchester, and ultimately returning to Montville as the resident trooper until his retirement in 2012. Following his retirement, Mike continued to serve the community, joining the Stonington Institute Starlight Program, providing vital service to veterans returning from Afghan and Iraq, struggling with PTSD and substance abuse. In 2013, Mike was entrusted with developing and leading the first security officer program for the town of Montville school systems, where his duties evolved from investigations and truancy and residential concerns, leading into a comprehensive district-wide school security initiative. And Mike was instrumental in recruiting qualified and experienced law enforcement professionals to serve in our schools and building a team of enhanced safety and relationship across the district. Under his guidance, these officers were trained in accordance with state laws and participated in rigorous annual training and firearms qualifications and in collaboration with the Montville Police Department. After overseeing 13 graduating classes with the town of Montville, he decided to retire from the school system, closing a chapter of extraordinary service of public service spanning over four decades. Mike, we commend you, Mike, for a lifetime of distinguished service to our nation, our state, and our community. Fred DeWick was at age of 18, he became a full member and firefighter, continuing a legacy of fire and safety emergency response. And from 74 to 1980, he served as an auxiliary police officer with Groton Town Police. During his tenure with Mitchell College from 76 to 86, he established a fire prevention program and helping shape a safer learning environment. Fred, during that time, he worked closely with the New London Police Department, Fire Department, and the Fire Marshal's Office and Public Safety Departments of New London and Waterford, developing a fire prevention program and contributing to the statewide safety education efforts. As a member of the New London County Fire Marshals Association, Fred played an active role in public education with innovative programs like Herbie the Hydrant, a remote-controlled fire hydrant used to engage and educate youth. From 89 to 2020, Fred served with Yankee Gas in providing essential training on natural gas and carbon monoxide safety to schools and emergency personnel throughout southeastern Connecticut. In 1990, he continued his fire service with Oakdale Fire Department, raising to the position of fire police captain in 2008. As serving as president of the Montville Area Fire Police Association. We recognize Fred for his outstanding contributions to public safety and emergency services and community education. In all three of these cases, long overdue, and I was very happy to be able to recognize them and present them in collaboration with the Sons of American Revolution. It was a nice ceremony. It was well done, and I think it was great to honor these great men in our town.
Thank you, Mayor. What a great award ceremony. Thank you very much for that presentation. And congratulations to all the recipients.
Definitely. Yeah.
So let's moving on to item 4B, the Good Times Motoring Club of Colchester presenting a donation to the Montville Police Canine Fund.
I'd like to call up Chief Blanchett and Mr. and Mrs. Howard, make a presentation to the police department.
Lieutenant Radford.
So good evening, Mayor, Town Council, Chief Blanchett, Lieutenant Radford. I'm extremely honored and excited to be here once again this year to represent the Good Times Motoring Club of Colchester, who is a group of car enthusiasts who host a monthly car cruise on the Colchester Town Green from May until September. I'm also joined by Tom Howard, president of the club. We held our June car cruise to raise money for donations to local police canine units. This year's show welcomed 70 vehicles, little lower than what we usually have because we had to use our rain date and it was extremely hot that day. We also had sponsors who helped us pay for trophies and subsidize the donation. We would like to take a moment to recognize and thank this year's local sponsors. Jeff Daniels of Daniels and Sons Construction, LLC. Steve of SAAS Lawn Care and Property Maintenance, LLC. Jordan Hadley from Airtime Snow Plowing and Landscaping. Tom McNally from TNS Lawn Care, LLC, Bill and Debbie Karen, Ron Percy, Ron's Lawn Care and Snow Plowing, LLC, Joe Blinn, JDB Lawn Care, and Tom Carroll. And we'd also like to recognize Whip Sporting Goods out of Springfield, Massachusetts, who did our trophies, does a beautiful job for us. So on behalf of the Good Times Motoring Club members, we are pleased and excited to present a check for $2,000 to the Montville Police Canine Unit. A separate donation is being made to the Colchester Police Canine Unit. We look forward to an even more successful event next year. Also, on behalf of Tom, myself, and our family, we would like to donate 10 Harlow's Heroes Give a Hero, Give Hope Hero Plushies. Harlow's Heroes is a Connecticut-based 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to supporting both active and retired canine teams. We provide critical medical care, protective equipment, rehabilitative services, nutritional support, and compassionate and end-of-life assistance, ensuring canines and their handlers always have somewhere to turn. Through advocacy and specialized initiatives like the Second Leash Project and Give a Hero, Give Hope, we promote mental health awareness, help retired and released canines transition into new homes, and strengthen the bond between law enforcement and the community they serve. So the Give a Hero, Give Hope, a little bit about that. Harlow's Heroes launched Give a Hero, Give Hope, a program shaped by real experience, created to bring emotional support, encourage mental health awareness, and help foster trust and positive interactions between law enforcement and the people they serve. So with the plushies, the canine unit officers and the canines, whenever they respond to a call or something like that, there may be a child involved in it that's very scared and very nervous, upset, or even maybe an adult, and they'll have the plushies to be able to give to them to kind of ease them a little bit and make them feel better. The Give a Hero, Give Hope plushies are available to purchase. You can also help us sponsor more Hero plushies for kids and community members in need by joining our fundraiser and creating a team, join a team, or go solo. Tom and I would also like to donate each of the town council members and the mayor with Harlow's Heroes playing cards, where 52 canine dogs are showcased, including Mopple's Finest, Barrett as the Ace of Spades.
Thank you. This is so cool.
Thank you. Because we all know it's the best deck in the car, best card in the deck, right? Canine Gage as the Nine of Hearts.
Thank you very much.
And then, of course, Sig.
Thank you, sir.
As the Jack of Spades. So three of our finest are in the deck. Krista Serra, founder and president of Harlow's Heroes, has even created her own rules for war, where the Barrett card trumps all. Thank you for your time.
I just want to say really quick, I've been here 2.5 years. I've never seen the community rally around a canine program like our community has, and that's a perfect example. Thank you so very, very much. So.
Mayor, I'd like to add to that I think that we should make sure this is on our town webpage and our service about the benefit program that they promoted tonight. There's like three different things that they're working on that I think we should be able to include that help
absolutely
do some more fundraising and donations. Yep. I believe there's three programs you addressed tonight, right? Or just two?
Yeah, she has a whole bunch of things on. So
if you could give us a rundown so we could get that, that'd be great. And thank you very much. It's a All right, moving on. Alteration of the agenda. I do not believe we have any. Does anybody have anything to add or change? All right, moving on. Consider an act and motion to approve the regular meeting minutes of July 14th, 2025.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, it is 6-0 in favor. Executive session, we do not have an executive session tonight. Item 8, remarks from the public relating to matters on the agenda with a 3-minute limit. Remarks from the public relating to matters on the agenda with a 3-minute limit. And I'll go one more time. Remarks from the public relating to matters on the agenda with a 3-minute limit. All right. Communications. I believe we got a few things in our emails on communication. They're not noted here. Mayor, did you have anything you want to add about communications that we got in?
Are you referring to the email?
Yes.
I think that there's an email from the lieutenant regarding the, I don't have it in front of me, so I can't read it.
Oh, you're talking about the ACO?
Generator.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that tonight. There was something that came up, but we're going to get that resolved.
Yep.
So, all right, report from the town attorney on matters referred. Mayor?
Got nothing.
Well, we have three things on the agenda tonight that, from the town attorney, right? On the land use.
They're on the agenda already.
Right. Remarks from the mayor, administrative department heads, to include matters referred.
Let's start off with the report from the police department.
Good evening, Dave Radford, Lieutenant Montville Police. I just wanted to briefly mention the animal control facility is moving along. They're still on course. They're doing well. They had they weren't out there today. They had some other complications they had to deal with also, but they'll be back tomorrow. If you haven't seen it yet, I drive by. It's coming along really well. I also wanted to mention, excuse me, I wanted to mention that the town has received two new speed signs. It's connected to the UConn research, and these two signs are going to be added to the three we already have. That'll be a total of five signs. We now currently have one on the London Turnpike, which I'm sure everybody's seen. We have one up on the D'Amato Old Coal area. We're going to be relocating those here soon to we're going to be relocating them, and we're going to be adding the other two in. We're going to be putting them up. One's going to go up near the lake for some complaints we've gotten up that way. One's going to go on Chesterfield in the area tile. Our fifth sign is currently down. It got damaged in a storm by a branch. We're working on getting that repaired. It's just the fascia of it, the cover, that we need to get replaced. And what these signs do is basically the first two of the three we already have, we obtained in the same way. We got these two new ones through UConn, through a they collect the data for rural roads, and it helps go towards the speed enforcement grants that we get. So it's a great program that they're running, and we're fortunate to have gotten some more. I also wanted to go on. The National Night Out happened last week. It went real well. We had a pretty good turnout. Thank you to all that helped out, especially the two parties. You helped cook the dinner, the food for everybody, and we really appreciate that. And other than that, I have nothing else unless anybody has any questions.
Lieutenant, are you able to mention anything about the Youth Services donation to the animal control from the penny drive?
Yes. I don't recall the number, though.
It was $750.
$750. The Youth Services, they had collected, they'd conducted a penny drive throughout town where they conducted money over a period of time. And last week they had a presentation of a check to the animal control for $750, the efforts of their collection, and we appreciate that.
Took quite a bit on pennies to raise
$750. Absolutely, a lot of pennies.
Lieutenant Radford, just a quick question. We had a couple months ago, maybe a few weeks ago, we had the grant for the monitoring the rural roads for speeders and cracking down on speed. Is that still ongoing, or has that been completed? And
Yes, that completed. We had that for, I believe that one was for 3 months. We did wrap that up. I apologize, I don't have the numbers in front of me tonight, but we had a great success with that. I want to say we were in the area of a few thousand contacts. And mostly, again, it was educational, so most of it was warnings, just about getting out there and educating and slowing down the motoring public. And it seems to work. I mean, we still have our issues, but it's never going to go away. But just the mere presence of us out there helped slow people down.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Dave, what about the, and thank you for your email, too. What about the presence on, can we get anything on 163? It just seems like the tractor trailer trucks and everything are just zooming down there like no tomorrow. I mean, it's brought up to my attention a couple times, and I know there's a couple blind spots. That's nothing to do with us, all state. And the mayor had the state come and trim back the shrubbery that was so, you couldn't even see some of the signs.
Right.
It was a couple of the seniors that brought up that, they had trouble pulling out of some of the areas on 163. And the trucks seems like that's one of the biggest things. They're just zooming down that road.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll certainly add that to our list. That is already part of our list, but we will get more more details out there to do traffic enforcement.
And on the dog kennel, I mean, to me, it maybe it's just moving a little slow. I just wanted your opinion, really, what you think. Do you think it's moving at a slow pace right now?
I don't believe so.
I drive by it all the time, and I'm like, whoa.
I agree.
I'm down there pretty much every day. I think it's going at a good pace. There's been some minor hiccups, but I think it's going at a predicted pace anyway.
Okay.
They've started framing internally now. So it's, you know, the rooms are being delineated, so it's actually starting to look like a facility inside. I think the next step is continue the framing, and then they'll be putting a roof on it.
When do they expect it to be finished?
Right now, the projected time frame is end of October-ish.
Okay,
so it's kind of on track.
This may be a question for Kyle, but I did notice in the plans early on that all the HVAC and air handling stuff is up in the roof attic area. And is that going to be the same kind of situation that we had at the police station, public safety building, when coil went out, we had to go and dismantle part of the building to get it worked on? Are we going to have to do that same kind of thing on this, or is it too early to tell on that?
I think you're right. It might be a question for Kyle, but with that said, I believe it's a different setup. I believe this is a heat pump style, so it's not. It's a lot different than the police department. You're
I only
not talking
because you were connected with the public safety, and maybe you could relate to it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be different, and it won't be nearly to the magnitude as the police department. So it's a lot easier to correct if anything goes wrong in the future.
You're not going to have the air handler situation that you had on a larger building like the PD.
No, I don't believe so.
We fixed it. That's all done, right, Dave?
Correct. It is. And it's working well.
It's working
Thank
great.
You.
Thank you for a thorough report.
Yeah, thank
Absolutely.
You. Sorry to slam you on the questions for the sandbagging. I'm sorry.
Get the engineer up here next time.
It's all good.
Oh, he's coming up.
Oh, he'll be up, yeah.
We got a lot of questions for him. No.
All set.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lieutenant. For the John Carlson, the Public Works Director, is out this week, and I've asked the town engineer from CLA, Kyle Hubbard, to come up here and do a report for Public Works.
John's out? Oh, I
yeah. know. White guy, huh?
I didn't know. He didn't tell me.
Good evening, everybody. Kyle Hubbard from CLA Engineers. Regarding the animal control facility, that would probably be more of an architect question, but I know it is functioning as heat pumps and doesn't have the same air handling like the police department, so I believe maintenance would be simplified and
easier.
Yeah, I
just saw it all up in the attic and thinking, are we going to have that same problem 10 years from now when something fails and they don't make it anymore and we have to go buy a completely different animal to put in there?
Sure. I'm not directly familiar with that, how that system is put together, but yeah, that would be probably more appropriate for the architects to respond to. With that, I have a list of stuff that we've been working with John on, and John had forwarded me some info that he had been working on with his staff as well, so I can go through a few of the items. One big one is the fishing pier and the boat launch. The town did finally get the last Connecticut Deep license issued middle of last week. That was the last step before construction can begin, so that was issued. We've already had a pre-construction meeting with the contractor. He is working out fine details of his schedule, but projected start of construction will be towards the end of this month. We're projecting construction to go through the fall. Weather dependent, there might be some final paving and cleanup that would be done after the winter season. But he plans to intend to start work. They'll start work on the fishing pier and continue work on the site throughout the throughout the fall until the weather shuts them down. We've also been working on Bridge Street, on replacing the bridge deck on Bridge Street, just down the street from Public Works. McCarthy Concrete is the contractor on that. They started work at the end of July. Demolition work is entirely complete, and the concrete was placed for the new deck on Friday. The detour for the road has been set up. It's allowed to be detoured to the end of this month. That's currently on track to either meet or be sooner than that time period. The contractor's made very quick progress, and we expect the road to be open towards the end of the month, if not sooner than the projected date for that.
We were also working on Beechwood Road. There's a drainage repair. There's a substantial erosion coming from the town drainage discharge that was potentially damaging two of the residents' houses out there. That project went through permitting. It went out to bid. Nunez Construction was the bidder on that one. We've executed contracts with them, and they intend to start work the first week in September to do that repair work and realign that drainage out there. To dive into some of the paving work, the Maple Avenue paving, we intended to start where the previous overlay had left off at around number 109 Maple and continue to the Public Works facility, knowing that the animal control facility was under construction at Public Works and also that Bridge Street would be, you know, tail end of construction with detouring and working in that area. So we had intended at that point to cut that project right at Public Works to allow the heavy truck traffic and other stuff going on in the Public Works to Bridge Street area to happen, and then return next year to continue paving to the end of that road. John had done some video inspections of the drainage culverts out there. Most of the culverts are in good shape. They're either newer plastic or concrete that are in good shape. There are a few old metal culverts out there. So we put a bid together to reline the metal culverts, and Situform was the low bidder on that, the apparent low bidder. The contract hasn't been awarded yet, but we anticipate to award the contract to them in the next couple of weeks, and they'll have about a week of work to reline those culverts ahead of the road reconstruction work. The survey for the road and the whole reconstruction is complete. We're in the middle of design right now. We're projecting towards the end of this month to have it ready for bid and then fall construction for the Maple Ave, which would kind of line up with the end of Bridge Street and kind of relieve some of that traffic and congestion out there. Some other road paving work. We had sent Gutterman Road out to bid for a road repaving project. There were only two bidders, and there was a very large spread between the two bidders, so that project was pulled back. And working with John, we've decided to lump that in with repaving Old Colchester Road and Oxabaxo Dam Road, thinking that the bigger project would entice more, you know, bigger pavers to bid on the project and get some better pricing. So we're working on bid plans for that, and we'll have that out to bid in the next week or two. Butler Town Road is also another one that is out there. We're working on design of that one right now as well. That'll be a full road reconstruction with some drainage improvements. We believe that's a big enough project that it can stand alone on its own and be bid separately. I also know the manor roads are an issue in town. We certainly acknowledge that they are in poor condition and definitely do need some reconstruction work. The holdup would be when you rebuild the roads, you want to make sure the underground work and infrastructure underneath the ground is in good shape and can withstand, you know, any of the road reconstruction is not going to fail. And we know that the water system out there is a problem and has leaked and has caused problems in the road. So in discussions with John, we have thought that it would be better off to hold off on road reconstruction until the water system issues are resolved. Once that is resolved, it is on the list of roads, you know, that whole neighborhood is on the list of roads to be, you know, to be repaired. Public Works has also chip sealed several roads. They did Massapequa Side Road, PTA Lane, Fielding Drive, and Chris Drive. And in addition, I've been working with John on updating the road standards, looking at more of a state DOT type standard, so that trench paving after permanent paving, a mill and overlay after the fact. So we've been working on this between the state road and the town standards on coming up with a middle ground that would suit the town's needs. We've also started work again on the community center bathrooms. We met with the architect last week, changing the scope of work and some of the floor work out there. The architect is working on updating his plans. We'll update the bid specifications. And then hopefully have that back out to bid towards the end of the month, first, you know, early September, to rebid the bathroom renovations out there. the Camp Oakdale Maintenance Garage. Construction is underway. P&H Construction has started excavation for the foundation out there. They have the metal building delivered at their facility now, so that is ready when the foundation is ready. He was hoping to finish foundation excavation and forming up this week and hopefully pour next week for the foundation. We've also just started work on the Camp Oakdale parking lot. We were asked to put together a bid spec to crack seal the parking lot and then do a chip seal and then reline the parking lot out there. We've also been working with Pete Bushway a little bit on other potential improvements out at the camp. We had done some conceptual level planning for parking lot realignments by the large pavilion, splash pad over by the pickleball courts, and also some cornhole areas. There's also some drainage up by Field 7 at the camp. So we're working with Pete on nailing down some scopes of work and then getting him some cost estimates for the work out there. And then John did have a couple of items he wanted me to update you on. The Camp Oakdale bathrooms and soccer shed have been painted inside and out. And a direct quote from him is, they look awesome. But new driveway lighting for the Camp Oakdale driveway by the soccer field is complete. It was a dark area for people at night coming from football, and that is now lit up. And the public works crews continue their roadside mowing program that's continuing throughout the summer. And the crews are almost caught up with catch basin repairs around town. It's been a busy year for repairs for them, but the lack of rain recently has helped and has allowed them to continue working on those. With that, if there's any questions, I'd be
happy. I have a couple, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Kyle, and thank you very much for standing in for John.
No problem.
I appreciate the accepting all of my phone calls.
No problem. Anytime.
All the concerns. Up to the Camp Oakdale, I walked that. That's why we brought it up. And that's why I brought it up when I talked to you about it, how much needs to be repaired up there. Also, fill the cracks. It just doesn't look good for the town. It just needs to be done. And thank you very much for pushing that.
No problem. Yep. Yep.
And I know I have a schedule. We're going to schedule something because we're going to put the bid out for the senior center.
That's correct. Yes, you had mentioned painting and some flooring at the senior center as well. Yeah.
That's awesome right there. I did stop down to Bridge Street. They're doing an awesome job.
I agree. McCarthy Concrete has done a fantastic job. They are top level. Yeah,
really good job. Yep. I don't know how we got them, but the bidding and stuff, we must have been really good. But they're doing a good job.
Yes,
the site is clean. They're very tentative of what everything's going on. What really concerns me, and it's really aggravating me, and nothing to do with you. I vented with you the other day, is the up in the Manor Roads. The Manor Roads, and that's why I've been pushing for these to update our standards and when they're repaired. Some of it's not being followed, and you know, John has filled me in how it happens. We've had a meeting on it with John, but it's long overdue. I mean, what's going on up there is terrible. It's just not fair to everyone up there. We're paving this side of town, paving over on this side, and these people have their roads. If you drive through, and it's just like a patchwork. And that's what I don't want to happen to our roads that we're spending millions of dollars on. That's why I was concerned about even on Raymond Hill Road when they did dig up some over there and that they did it properly, doing the repair over there that we had talked about. But if there's something that we can move forward on that, and this council should be outraged on that, about how these repairs are being done up there and they're not being followed back through and repaired. I mean, they're sinking. They should be fixing them. You know, they should get their act together and get these lines repaired, these water lines, because the roads they're terrible. I mean, I would hate to be the one that goes up there and has to plow that, and just to even go up there as you're going home from a hard day and this heat and you're driving there, you're just bouncing all over the place. It's not as bad as Maple Avenue, which that was self-induced pain to our town from another department. But you know what? I really want to stay involved on this right here.
Sure.
I really think that we, as a town, should be pushing our state reps and pushing the water authority to get this done. I mean, I don't...
Councilor Karen, if I can just interject on that point.
Yeah, Mayor, you can one second, too, as soon as I finish my thought. And I think you just took it away from me. But you know what? On that right there, and I know the mayor has been in contact with him, but you know what? It's a sore subject with me. It just aggravates me that we have to wait on another organization, and then they're going in fixing pipes that are deteriorating, and then they're doing substandard repairs. And they are substandard. If you look at them, any other person that does cuts in your roads, we'd be all over them.
I agree. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But Kyle, thank you, and Mayor, you have it now.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
CJ, do you want to say anymore? You sure? You want to bring it up more?
No, I'm good.
I did talk to John Carlson last week about the road standards, particularly the temporary patch, and I gave him, from an engineering standpoint, what we should. And I actually discussed that almost a year ago. So I think we really need to fast-track that and get that implemented. And then whenever Southeastern Connecticut Water Authority does a repair, they have to pull a permit. They should be putting the temporary patch either 10 feet or 20 feet either side of the thing, not a 3-foot that sinks in. And then, you know, but they need to come in and then have it warrantied. So if it does dip, and that'll make things a little better when they do the repairs. And I think we need to implement that really quick because, you know, been asking for it for a year. And then, you know, I talked to John last week and he said, yeah, I'm going to look into it. So you did mention it tonight, but I would, if you could, tell me when could we have that particular part of the road standard implemented. Is it a 2-month, 6-month, 10-month? What is it? How long does it take to get that implemented?
We could do that within a month. We'll update the road standard details, and then we can provide some additional language
when
in there.
Squad goes to repairs. They have to pull a permit. They have to have it inspected by our town engineer, which is you, to meet that standard. And then that way, at least we'll have a good repair.
Yes.
And I'll
talk to John, and like I said, we'll provide those details, and I'll talk to John about updating the actual road opening application.
Where does that have to go to get approved? The Public Works?
Yeah, we go to Public Works, right. And we'd send it to TARP, or if the chairman of TARP wants to send it directly to the council, we can do that.
So I'd like to hold that commitment to within a month, if you could.
Sure, yes, we'll do that.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
We're lucky to have you. If you'd love to have an office here, you can work 24/7.
Maybe. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the only thing I have to add is on the 31st, we had our initial meeting with the consultants that we hired for the Route 32 development plan, BJH Consultants. We have more meetings scheduled on the steering committee and the main committee to go over what the plans are and what our goals are going to be, but that's going forward finally.
Good. All right, anything for the mayor?
Mayor, I forgot to ask you, I'm sorry. How's the paving going on 32? When did they?
They were supposed to, the last date that I had for the final course was supposed to have been started today, and as you can see, they haven't, and I'm having trouble.
They had it flashing, it was going to be the 14th on the sign.
On the
sign that they flashed.
Yeah, okay.
Paving the 14th.
Well, hopefully,
at least that's what I saw. Anyway.
Hopefully it'll be the 14th, but the communications between the state and what they're doing and they're telling us is very difficult at times.
Yeah. It's an obstacle course.
Yep.
Anything else? All right, remarks from standing committees. Towns Administration Rules Procedure.
Item on the agenda, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, thank you. Finance, we had a meeting 2 weeks ago, and it's on the agenda tonight for the money being transferred for the Board of Ed. And then Public Works Solid Waste Disposal. I think we had pretty much everything covered tonight there.
Only on one thing, if I may, Mr. Chairman, we did have a meeting with Public Works, and our foreman down to Public Works, Flo, came, really informed us on some great ideas. She made the suggestions about on some things that she thinks we'd be changing on our punch card. That should be coming to TARP, coming to us. Probably in the middle of the month, she brought up a bunch of those changes to us and some other changes, and it was well informed in how, since none of us are there, as much as Flo and the hardworking people down to the transfer station, she brought it all back to us, and her suggestions were warranted. I mean, that things that she's seeing that is being taken advantage of, and certain things that we don't know about, and the people that aren't using the transfer station, and what the cost is. One of the things is the non-Baron Rose is costing the taxpayers over $100,000. So I don't think any of you councilors know about that. When I did pull up the other one, there was a deficit of $250,000 on certain things. So we did find that out, and we're lucky to have Flo down there that would bring that back to us. She's going to be speaking in our meetings from now on with Public Works, bringing things back to us so we can figure it out and then bring it back to all of you.
Yeah.
And you know what, John did bring up a couple things more that didn't bring it over to Kyle. He is also working on some trees, more trees, which is it's an ongoing thing about some of these trees that are hanging over. And he did bring forward on some of the stuff that he had some complaints about, some potholes, some drainage and stuff that he's taking care of.
I just want to reiterate about the non-burnables, and it's to kind of put that in perspective. We're talking about stuff like pressure-treated lumber, and more importantly, it's roofing material like asphalt shingles. They're very hard to get rid of, and they're very expensive, so it puts a huge burden on the taxpayers. So it's one of the things we got to start really looking at, if we're going to still accept them or what we're going to do with them if we do. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. We're taking the recommendations from the transfer station and the Public Works Director, and they're already following through in other towns that other transfer stations. That's what they went to look at. They also wanted to see what other transfer stations are doing. My main goal is to keep the cost of the transfer station sticker for the pass, to keep it without having to get impact that anymore. So we're looking at the other ways that we are costing some money, and the non-burnables are costing us over $100,000 a year.
Thank you. Reports from special committees, liaison counselors. Councilor Karen, Commission on Aging, Nonprofit Organization, Social Services, Volunteer Firefighters Relief Fund.
So the nonprofits, we have a nice letter here from the Hospitality Center. Dear friends, on behalf of the emergency shelter, guests of our staff, thank you very much for your donation of $3,500 on the 25th of July. Your support has helped create lifelong experiencing and helping people with homeless in our community. So I really would like to have, if any would like to see that, that was very nice to get a letter from the council and to the town of Montville that that we do support this. We do reach out to help our homeless citizens in any way we can. Day social service, we are looking for more donations. Donations are quite down on the non-perishables. With the federal cuts, we're looking in other areas. I know we are approaching the tribe to partner up with us a little bit. So I'm hoping that will go through. We do have our summertime barbecue at the Senior Center, and it's on August 22nd. If you know, it's great if you're a senior to go. I know you'll have a time to meet one of our town celebrities. The chief of the police department will be there probably, because he's usually there. You know. Chief, thank you very much for supporting our Senior Center. I appreciate that very much. And you too, Mr. Raffer. You always are there too, especially being on Commission on Aging. Though the Senior Center has been busy with new programs, new activities. You know, our lunches have been successful. Our art class, our Zumba class. If you want to take time to go down there and see the Zumba class, you know, the bingo's been exciting. The bingo numbers have been going up. The paint classes. I can go on and on. If anyone has some time to really look at this and see how much is in this and how much we have. I mean, we're very lucky to have the Senior Center, and also I won't take away from Nick, our youth center, too, but the Senior Center is underneath me, and it's phenomenal. I'm very proud of it. And that's about it.
Thank you. Councilor Jaskowitz, Board of Education, Planning and Zoning Commission.
No meeting in July, Mr. Chairman. Planning and Zoning has got two items on the agenda. Also, it had four applications they met on and approved, issued 19 new zoning permits, and closed 15 zoning permits on the issuance of a certificate of zoning compliance. So they were busy. Thank you.
All right. Councilor Lathrop's not here. Economic Development and Water Pollution Control Authority. Mayor, do you have anything from the Water Pollution Control Authority? I know you attend those meetings.
No, I don't. I know that they canceled the last one for this month.
The tower up and running?
No, they're running into problems with the tower and the easements. They've tried everything they can to get the easements, and it's stonewall to stonewall.
I thought they had that resolved.
Nope. We thought we were going to, but it didn't work out. But they did cancel the last meeting.
Councilor Sebelia, Conservation Commission, Public Safety Commission, Youth Service Bureau, Advisory Board, excuse me.
All right. Conservation Commission, they met last week. I wasn't able to attend. I was actually at National Night Out. I had to pick one or the other. Conservation Commission filled me in, though. They also, the garden club that they have, that's kind of branched off them, they've been doing a lot. They're working on the end of Fitch Hill and 32. They want to do stuff at the Horton Cove parking lot and the Raymond Library. Speaking of Horton Cove, they're trying to get Lawton Trail. They've been working with the Lawton family. They're trying to get it on Trail Finder so people can, you know, check it out. They're planning to be at the farmers market again in September. They've been going, having a little booth. They have a brochure with all the trails in town that one of the members worked on, so they've been handing that out. It's pretty cool. Some trails you might not know about. They're also looking for an alternate commission member, so if anyone's interested in the Conservation Commission, they're looking for an alternate, so just figured pass that along. Public safety, we did not have a meeting. We did have National Night Out. Like they said, it was well attended. Me and Joe were cooking and serving food for, I don't know, hour and a half straight. The line was way back. So it was nice to see people out. And I heard people were at the farmer's market as well that night. So I'm glad, you know, people are taking advantage of some of the things we're offering. So it's nice to see. Youth Services. I don't have too much from them. They were also at National Night Out. So it was nice to see them there. They're currently still taking registrations for their after-school program, which will obviously be starting. First day of school is Wednesday, August 27th. They also have their Uncas Health mobile van every Wednesday from 2 to 3 o'clock. This week it is at Fair Oaks Community Center on the 13th. I also wanted to give an update on the turf athletic field at the high school. I know it's not really under my stuff, but it was kind of an important project to me. It was pushed off for way too long on the capital improvement plan Board of Ed side. So I'm glad that we got that done. If you've gone by, it looks beautiful. We're told Monday the 18th, but you know how dates can go. So we're hoping to have football practice on it next Monday. So the kids are excited. We're excited. Looks great. The company that did it was awesome. They had a guy living here all summer, so he didn't get to leave till it was done. So he was putting in 12-hour days. It was impressive. So it's nice to see.
That's rather to add something that happened on Saturday. The Glimboski Owls Reserve mm-hmm. had their grand opening, and I was fortunate to go to that. I'm also a member of. I'm a steward for this property as well, and that was on August 9th last Saturday, and it was an amazing piece of property, 160 acres. A good portion of it's in Mottville, and the rest of it's in Bosser, but if you get a chance to get out there, it's an amazing property. They got a nice place to park your car, and it's a nice walk. There's a 3.5 mile long trail there that I think be impressed. There's all kinds of Native American artifacts along the way, and a beaver pond, all kinds of cool stuff out there. So if you get a chance, it's part of Mottville, and I think it's an excellent place to take a walk. So just want to put that out. And then Councilor Southard, Farmers Market Committee, Library Committee, and the Parks and Rec Commission.
All of my meetings this month were canceled, but I do want to mention that on 2 weeks ago, the market had a Native night, which was a respectful way for us to recognize the rich history that Mottville has with the Native tribes, and the Day did an amazing article on that evening. We had lots of support from the Mohegan tribe. We had the Wooden Crow Singers. We had David Eichelberg, who was a dancer. He played a flute. He had things that he had for kids to show the history of the Mohegans in the area. We had many vendors come from out of town, from out of state, to attend our market. It was absolutely amazing, and hoping that we'll be able to do that next year. Tomorrow night we have a car cruise. We have some new food vendors attending, and we can't win this season with the heat. Every Tuesday, it's 150 degrees out. So we're hoping we get some cars, and we have some really great food trucks tomorrow night and some really great vendors. So come on down.
All right. Thank you. Appointment and resignations. Consider an act on a motion to reappoint to the Southeastern Connecticut Water Authority with a term to expire September 1, 2027.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? All right, roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. Indicate that 6-0 in favor. 14B, consider an act on a motion to reappoint Chuck Longton to the Southeastern Connecticut Water Authority with a term to expire on September 1, 2027.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. 6-0 in favor. Consider an act on a motion to reappoint Jessica LeClaire to the Inland Wetlands Commission with a term to expire September 17, 2029.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. So 6-0 in favor. Consider an act of motion to reappoint Rich Colbreacher to the Regional Tourism District with a term to expire August 12th, 2028.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. So it's 6-0 in favor. 16A, the Town of Montbell hereby resolves to refund taxes due to overpayments and corrections in the amount of $1,090.13 as requested by the tax collector.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. So 6-0 in favor. The Town of Montbell hereby resolves to authorize Mayor Leonard Brunell Sr. to execute the quitclaim deed, releasing the original perpetual drainage easement and right to drain dated March 9, 2023, and recorded on April 13, 2023 in volume 693 at page 69 of the Montbell Land Records, and accept the revised perpetual drainage easements and rights to drain granted to the Town of Montbell by Samir /RAF Builders LLC dated July 18, 2025, as required per Planning and Zoning Commission subdivision modifications applications approved on May 27, 2025, and shown on a plan entitled Lot 7, Drainage Modification, Subdivisions Modification, Property Address, East Lake Road and Fire Street, Montbell, Connecticut, 06370. Prepared by Sunmar RAF Builders LLC, 285 Old Colchester Road, Uncasville, Connecticut. Prepared by H&H Engineering Associates and dated 3-28-2025. Revised 4-22-2025.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. So it's 6-0 in favor. Item C, the Town of Montbell hereby resolves to continue offering voluntary employee benefits through Colonial and add benefits offered through Aflac, providing employees a choice of providing providers for benefits. The mayor and town attorney are authorized to take all actions necessary to implement this change in the provision of the town's voluntary employee benefits program to include the negotiations and execution of any necessary agreements.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Discussion?
Just for the record, this was recommended by the town attorney that we pass a resolution to approve the use of Aflac as well as Colonial as a in recognition of the charter. Charter requires it.
So this involves no money.
No.
So
no.
Are we required
it's,
to do
it's still a benefit, although no. The benefit is
I'm asking another question. Do we still need to do a roll call vote, or can we do? I guess it doesn't matter. We're just doing.
I would do the roll call vote.
All right, roll call vote, please.
Definitely favor.
Definitely favor.
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 Favor. That's 6-0 in favor. The town of Montbelliard resolves to accept the easements in both temporary and both in order to conduct work and permanent to drain onto said properties granted to the town of Montville by Thomas McCarthy of 62 Beechwood Road, dated July 31, 2025, and Joseph M. and Roberta Zigzik. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right.
That's right.
Of 66 Beechwood Road, dated August 4th, 2025, as required per Inland Wetlands Commission's application 251WC12, approved July 17, 2025, and shown on a plan entitled Town of Montville Beechwood Road Culvert Replacement Easement Plan, dated June 5th, 2025.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Any discussion? All right. Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. So that's 6-0 in favor. The town of Montbelliard resolves to allocate $405,211 in unanticipated special education funds to the Board of Education.
So move.
Second.
Any discussion?
Discussion on this is just a pass-through, correct? This is
yeah. This is that money that came in last minute. It was not included in the budget because it's just a pass-through.
Yeah, so nothing came out of our fund balance for this. This is
right. This is money that
we just passed.
This is all we're doing is we're just giving that money that came in from the state to the Board of Education so they can do it.
Okay,
so,
great. Thank you.
Late funded. Yep.
Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. So it's 6-0 in favor. Item F, the town of Montbelliard hereby resolves to remove Barbara Griffin from the credit card account with company X, and the mayor is hereby authorized to notify said company and instruct it to remove her name and her authorization from said account.
So move.
Second.
Any discussion? All right,
the resolution is part of your package that the credit card company is requiring us to pass on a resolution, and the name of the bank is UMB Bank for the resolution.
Do I need to add that in here?
Well, it says with X Company, which is the UMB Bank.
Do I need to add it to the resolution? So it's
that's only the credit card one we have.
So can we add UMB Bank where it says X Company?
Where it says M.
Any other discussion? Just out of curiosity, we never really authorized, that I know of from the town council standpoint, anyone authorized on a credit card. So I know we're removing it on this action, but is there going to be action for us to add somebody to authorize?
Well, according to the resolution that the credit card company is asking us to submit to them, yes, the names will be on that.
Well, this one's just
going to require the town council? No.
So if we're adding, let's say we're adding you or a department.
The treasurer.
Is that going to go to the town council?
No. Well, I don't believe it does.
But so the credit card company is just asking for a resolution from us to remove Barbara Griffin.
Exactly.
All right. Makes sense. All right. Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. 6-0. All right. Remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit.
Carol Howard, 23 Bayberry Lane, Uncasville. Community night out was an awesome job.
downfall the same night as the farmers market. So I don't know. Is it always a Tuesday night every year? Because that helicopter was cool. It was really cool if anybody got to see that. So great job. To the last point, and I don't know how government works, and you mentioned that it's the bank that's asking for this resolution. In the private sector, I know where I work, somebody leaves a job, everything is just turned off, period. You lose your system access, you lose your company credit card, everything. So she's been gone quite some time. I'm just surprised that they want a resolution. It should just be in policy or something. I'm not sure, but that just seems, I don't know, odd. That's all.
Good evening, Matt Suarez, 18 Cranberry Drive. I just want to inform, just want to make a quick statement informing the residents of the Mohegan Fire District that the town has decided without consulting with the Mohegan Fire Company to pull the career staff out of our station during the daytime hours between 07 and 1700. In October of 24, when I took over as chief, I advised the mayor, this council, as well as the Public Safety Commission, that as volunteers we're struggling to cover our calls in our district. I sent that via letter. This letter has appeared to have gone to the wayside and ignored as far as I know. And as one politician told me, if we don't talk about it, it'll just go away. Well, the problem has not gone away. Most departments across the country are seeing a significant decline in qualified members to meet the ever-growing number of calls, mostly EMS. Mohegan Fire Company is no different. While some departments in the town have figured out how to cover these calls, our department has relied heavily on the career staff paid for by the town. Pulling the staff without any notice or discussion has left our area to rely on staff coming from other departments between 07 and 1700 every day, traditionally some of the busiest hours for EMS calls. I know some will say that, you know, what are you doing to fix this? The short answer is we were relying on the few volunteers that we have qualified to cover these calls, as well as the town employees coming from other stations. While we have looked at recruitment plans, we have not had any luck coming up with a solid plan to boost our numbers. Many residents in our districts are what we consider transient. That is, while many buy their homes, they know they're there short term. They don't want to get too involved in the community. They're working at EB, they're in the Navy, they're, you know, working at the casino. A lot of them don't have proper paperwork to get certified by the state. But we also have quite a few properties in our area that are becoming short-term rentals, like Airbnb, whatever those programs are, due to our proximity to the casino. We do get some members from our district, but the numbers are not enough to overcome the attrition that comes with volunteers. I'll close with saying that I understand the mayor has the right to place employees where he sees fit, but a little notice and a plan may not have left one of the busiest areas in town unprotected or with a delayed response relying on mutual aid. While I'm a big fan of mutual aid, there becomes a point where it is not mutual if one side is relying on it all the time and unable to reciprocate. Thank you.
All right. Last call remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit. All right. Thank you. Remarks from the councilors and the mayor. I'll start off with the mayor.
I want to thank the Good Time Motoring Club for their donations to the police department, the K-9 department. It goes a long way, and I know it's a lot of work, and we appreciate it very much. And it's, I know it happens every year, and it's a good thing. We appreciate it. In response to the resolution for the credit card, that was drafted by the town attorney. And yes, we are identifying replacement names. And I don't know how that got so long with Barbara's name still being on it. But also in response to the comments by Chief Suarez, the area is not unprotected. It is not unprotected. The paid staff will respond to company two calls from company one, and where the call is, where it originates from, has a lot to do with how long it takes. And it doesn't matter where you're coming from. If the call is on the other end of town, where you're starting from, it makes a big difference. I understand that, but it's there's no unprotected areas. There are no unprotected areas. We removed them from company one because of radon situations, and we're waiting for the right time to move them back. It took longer than I wanted it to, and I did notify all the chiefs of the return to company one, and we're back to where we were in February of 24. Hope everybody has a safe and enjoyable Labor Day.
Councilor Southard?
I want to congratulate again the gentleman receiving the Sons of American Revolution Outstanding Service Award. I know that they are no longer here, but congratulations again. And thank you to the Howards and to the Good Times Motoring Club and to Harlow's Heroes. Your work is amazing and greatly appreciated. And again, I hope we see some of you at the farmers market tomorrow night for the car cruise. Again, really good food trucks, great vendors, and that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll go down the other end. Councilor Yutnick?
I have nothing, sir.
Councilor Jaskowitz?
Thank you to everybody that works for the town. This is a great town, folks. We're a small town, but we're a big-hearted town. I want to thank everybody that comes here, the Howards, that what they do, and anybody else that works. Firemen, the police, the councilmen that go and work outside. That's why we're the way that we are in this town. I mean that with my heart. We're strong that way. Thank you. Have a good night.
Mr. Sebelia?
I just want to thank the Howards and Good Times Motoring Club, Harlow's Heroes. Thanks for the playing cards, too. That's pretty cool. Also, I do a school supply drive. This is year three. I have a couple new drop-off spots. Lundy's Barbershop is a drop-off spot. And the Camp Oakdale concession stand, Montville Youth Football, has kind of teamed up with me to collect some school supplies. I bring most of them to social services. I also work at the high school, so I bring a few things there. I'll see the kid with, you know, the same tethered backpack, so I'll pull him aside, grab him a new one. So if you could help out with that, I'm also going to be at the farmer's market tomorrow with a box collecting supplies. So thank you for that.
What are some of the things you're looking for?
Mostly just book bags, lunch boxes, reusable water bottles, notebooks, pencils, standard school stuff. Okay. Thank you.
Councilor Karen.
Oh, thank you very much. I'd like to thank the Howards. You guys are excellent. Amazing. You surprised me again. Count me in for next year for a donation. Definitely, you know, just ask away. And if I can help you more with that, you count me in on that too. One thing I failed to really say anything about at the senior center, we have from the Mohegan Tribe donated a skybox. It's Leonard Skinnerd, August 29th. So if anyone's interested into the senior center, they have tickets down there. You can go down there and see them on. This will be a buffet dinner. There will be desserts. All kinds of different little things that I failed to tell everybody. And I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. I really appreciate it.
Well, I definitely want to thank the Howards. That was a big surprise. And I would like to get on your list, too. I don't know how that slipped me, but if you could put me on there, I would like that.
It's full. Don't. It's full.
Yeah. But I just want to point out that, you know, tonight we had Kyle from CLE Engineers who pointed out a lot of things that we're working on in town, and it's pretty remarkable the amount of things that, you know, we had some COVID money, we applied it to certain things, and they're starting to come about. One of them is the maintenance building at Camp Oakdale. That was a big push to get that, something that's needed. All the repairs we've done to the pavilion, you heard tonight we're going to be working on the Camp Oakdale parking area, getting that back in shape. We got some painting done at different places, at the soccer building and at Camp Oakdale, and the bathrooms at the pickleball. So there's a lot of things happening that our town really doesn't get credit for, and this council, quite frankly, of all the things we've done, and we're moving. We got a fishing pier that's going to start construction here end of the month, and new boat launch. That's something I've been working on for 6 years, and it's my baby, as I call it, because I've been trying to push for that for so long to get that going, and I'm really glad to see that that's happening. As you know, the animal control facility, it's got a tentative schedule to be open in October, and that's a big deal. That's a lot of work to get that. There was tremendous community support, tremendous legislative support, and we got the state money for that. Another one that I feel it's kind of my little baby as well was the bond property. We just announced that the bond commission awarded $1.4 million to get that, help finalize the purchase of that, and that's going to add 670 acres of really pristine land to our community for everyone in the town to use, and I think that's going to be wonderful. Also mentioned the Glen Bosky property, another good piece for Montville.
Sorry, Jim.
Yes, 3 minutes.
My 3 minutes are up?
Your 3 minutes
so,
are up. I don't know what just happened.
I could go
I give
on.
Up.
I could go on a little bit more, but I won't. But I just want to say there's a lot of things that this council has done in the 2 years, and we're moving forward, and we're getting things done. And I just want to thank the mayor for his hard work and this council and our town staff. So with that, I will leave you motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks, Tim.
My phone kept beeping all night. I don't know what was going on.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that was my phone beeping all night.
No,
but make it stop.
Why did you?
No,
did you
she
really
did,
do that?
No,
that
no, that was.
It was good.
It was good, wasn't it? 3 minutes up.
Oh, man.